This is the Friends of History Debating Society live on a beautiful summer evening in Londinium. The Thames is very quiet, a beautiful evening, and the centurions are enjoying themselves telling gambling stories. It's odd how men who fight across the empire, when they talk about anything, they don't talk about their battles or their scars. They talk about their gambling debts or their gambling winnings. Well, the Roman life. The Roman life is a subject that I proposed to Germanicus we mentioned tonight because I've been reading the late 5th century. This is, Rome was sacked at the beginning of the 5th century. It was sacked again towards the end of the 5th century. And so much was the empire built on the assumption that Rome cannot fall. They moved the capital to Ravenna. Okay, that was a good move. And in the meantime, Constantine had built his city. There is a debate. One version says he didn't expect it to become the empire. It was just a good place on the Danube. But by the late 5th century, it was well established as a trading post. It was with good business. And Rome was no longer occupied as the thing we must hold on to. The empire had moved to Ravenna, which is a beautiful place, I understand, but it's not Rome. Now, what I've discovered, Germanicus, in my reading, always dangerous, is that in the late 5th century, there are no Romans here. They're all Visigoths or Ostrogoths, and the success of Gaul is that it took over. Now, we treat them as Romans, but just the way we treat the Greek speakers in Constantinople as Romans. And there's this, and it occurred to me as I was reading this, and we can look to the 21st century in America for this. The good Roman could review everything from Augustus and talk of Caesar. The good American can review everything from Washington and the Revolution, and that will be true for another 1,000 years. And I don't know if there's another empire that can speak so in depth, just at the moment's notice of its success for a length of time, the way America can and the way Rome could. And now, we're not 1,500 years yet, but we have ambitions.
All of the barbarians, as we call them, or as the Greeks called them, all the barbarian Germanic peoples that entered the Roman Empire became Roman. And in many cases, they were already Romanized, and they founded kingdoms, but they couldn't take over the empire. And Rome in the West didn't do a terrible job in dealing with them. In fact, after Alaric sacked Rome, he died, and the Roman Emperor Constantius chased the Visigoths all the way into Gaul, and then gave them a kingdom. And they were loyal allies. They defeated the Huns alongside the Romans in 455. The Franks in the north were loyal Roman allies and stayed loyal Roman allies for 2.5 centuries. If the emperor in Constantinople wanted the Franks to intervene in Italy, they would send an army and do that. The only really petulant people that the Western Romans could not take care of were the Vandals, and the Vandals were a huge problem. They were eventually dealt with by Constantinople and the empire in the east. But the fact is that Rome survived by Romanizing everyone, and they all speak a form of Demotic Latin today, which we call French, Spanish, Italian. And the fact is only the place names and personal names still survive from those Germanic peoples in our own time.
It was something I discovered, Germanicus. That's why it's a joy to me. Here I'd been thinking that Rome would be something that only Romans could claim to, but the Visigoths didn't know they weren't Romans. They believed they were Romans. They were part of they were the strength of the empire in the late 5th century. They're the ones who defeated the Vandals from North Africa what we
call them. That was done by Belisarius, but what the Visigoths achieved under their top king, Theoderic, was they were able to unite the Ostrogoths and Visigoths together, and essentially Theoderic, in the early 6th century, ruled most of what had been the Western Empire without Northern Gaul and without Britain and without North Africa, but you had, you know, Italy, most of Gaul and Spain were under Visigothic, Ostrogothic rule. And it was only after his death that Justinian decided to invade first Africa and then Italy. And the reason was that the successors of Theoderic weren't good vassals. Theoderic was considered a king, but he was also still a vassal of Constantinople. And that's really important because it means that the Roman authority was unbroken and that there was no real fall of Rome. And in fact, Rome was Byzantine, or really Roman, for Constantinople up until the 7th century, close to the 8th century. And it's a very complicated story, but the fact is the Romans were supremely successful in maintaining the continuity of their vision.
And here's the game. It came to me as we were talking about it earlier. Is there a comparable imagined future for America, the American Empire? And will somebody think they're American and sustain us with their strength?
That is a real possibility that will attend whatever upheaval awaits us in the United States. I mean, Rome was divided at the end of the 3rd century by Diocletian for a reason. Rome could no longer handle local identities that emerge. And by local, I would say, well, you know, you have Gaul and Britain with the usurper Carausius in the 270s had to be defeated, but that became an issue. In other words, you were having the emergence of local regional identities that couldn't be under direct Roman administration. And that happened all over, first in the West, and then eventually in the 7th century and after in the East as well. And so the genius of Rome was being able to maintain a collective sense of higher identity and a agreement that all of these different cultures, whether it was Francia or Spain or, you know, the emerging Germany, they were all part of this Roman inheritance. And that was true all the way up until the Reformation. And the same was true in Byzantium. You had a Byzantine commonwealth emerge so that even though the titular Byzantine Empire was tiny toward the 14th and 15th centuries, the peoples, all of the peoples of the Orthodox world still looked to the Basileus, the emperor in Constantinople, as the overall overarching figure of their shared identity. And so with America, we have a split, a deep fissure in American life that will continue and worsen. But in many ways, the Church of Woke, no matter how much it hates and reviles the original American religion, which you see in Mr. Trump, they both consider themselves Americans, and the success of America in all parts of North America, at least, and parts of South America, is potentially leading to a kind of Romanization. And this will continue even after the contiguous United States is not necessarily with us any longer.
Germanicus and Gaius are on their way to the theater. We'll sacrifice to the god Augustus. We have an amateur group tonight performing scenes from The Clouds. That's the Greeks again. Aristophanes claimed this was a comedy. All it does is mock the thinkery, Socrates, and generally understood to be making fun of society, traditionalism. However, it's an amateur group putting it on, so perhaps they've interpreted it for it'll please me as a Roman. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Oh, yes, it's a beautiful night, and so we can dream of the future, the 21st century and beyond. Thank you for listening. Live from Londinium, I'm John Batchelor.